Welcome to the game with Glenn Quatermain and Adrian Barrage. Quatt is a veteran footy scribe with hands so small he can only carry 2 pints. And Barra, an Eagles original, Perth Demons diehard, and regular face on Channel 7.
Hello, Adrian Barrage here from 7 News.
He'll tell you about the 1991 Grand Final, except he got dropped after the prelim. We don't promise any fancy sound effects or bells and whistles. It's just two blokes talking football.
And thank you, Dennis. And you are listening to Quarters and Barra. I am Glenn Quatermain, senior sports writer for the West Australian. With me is Adrian Barrage, Channel 7, Perth Football Club and West Coast Eagles guru. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. Got the touch? Download the Tab Touch app today. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Barra, boy, oh boy, as BT would say.
Oh,
we got ourselves an upset.
Oh, wasn't what a game, too, in terms of the atmosphere. I mean, you were there, the 55,000. And every time Harley went near, when he took that third, was it third mark? No, the second mark that he's been nominated for as Mark of the Year, which I thought actually Bailey Williams took the best mark. The replays weren't there for them to pump it up. But that was monstrous. Like, didn't he have a game as well? But that when that big he took that big hanger, the place just exploded, didn't it? And imagine being a 19-year-old Victorian in Western Australia and in front of 55,000, they're chanting your name. Harley. It's unbelievable.
I don't think he minds it.
I know, but it's just like it must be a weird, weird scenario.
What about his exchange with Mundy post-game? How funny was that?
Yeah, so
you don't like me much. You only gave me the one vote.
One vote, Mundy. Called him Mundy, not Dave or or Barra.
Look, he's
Mundy.
He has got chutzpah. He has got bravado. He's got
swagger, mate.
The spunk. He's got swagger. He's got all of it.
He's got swagger like Jagger.
Oh, yeah.
That's how much swagger he's got.
He has.
He's the Taylor Swift of the bloody AFL. I mean, and how about in the East now, how they've all embraced him? Carolyn Wilson, you see her last night? Pumping him right up. All the Matthew Lloyd in shock. Everybody reneging on their... Oh, they should have split their pick. You know, that's all gone out the door. North Melbourne being pilloried for not tanking to get him.
Well, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
That's how bad it's got. That's how good the guy is. And Judd, I saw your man O'Donoghue wrote something saying that he's ahead of Judd so far.
He's ahead of a few people on stats.
A few people. He's ahead of everyone.
Yeah, well, okay.
Including Judd.
I think in terms of the hype, I don't think anyone expected this big an impact this early in his career. I think we need to... I'm not trying to downscale the story, but there'll be a time
Hang on,
don't you work
for the West Australian?
Mate, there'll be a time when someone sits on him.
Aren't you selling papers 50% off based on...
We're still selling the Harley story, don't worry.
you want to just go and check on what
you're
lying?
Is it inevitable that he has a...
Flat spot.
A flat spot. Yeah. Opposition players are going to start sitting on him more. That's going
to
happen.
I think the Dockers tried to. He just brushed him off. What about the way he dealt with Fife?
Yeah.
And I noticed Fife spoke yesterday, but everyone's a bit apprehensive. Did you go down for that?
No, I didn't.
I was a bit disappointed that it wasn't put straight to Fifey as to what his reaction was to being brushed off. When he say brushed off, he didn't expect him to come back at him and knock him over. And then he tried to milk the free kick, Fifey, I suppose. But he's like a young Fife in terms of the way he plays.
Yeah.
The way he explodes out of the contest is unbelievable.
Out of the stoppage, and he wriggles out of tackles, and he's got good penetration with his kick, goes forward, takes hangs, kicks goals. Not much he can't do.
And he was quiet in the first quarter, so Mundy, that's why Mundy didn't give him...
So what do you reckon? Did they get the votes right? I actually think they did get the votes pretty right. And I always refer to the
coaches'
votes. And if you look at that, they did. You've got, I think, Yo 9, Waterman 9 is fair enough. Tom Barras 5, Harley Reid 5. I'd probably have Reid a bit higher, but I thought it was Yo, Reid, Waterman. They were my 3-2-1.
So you reckon the coaches got it wrong?
Nah, pretty much right.
They've given 9 to Waterman.
Well, I've got him high as well, so I don't think they've got it wrong.
So I reckon that J-Lo's given Waterman best on ground.
Yeah, well, he's kicked 5. Jeez, good 5 and, he's and given, 6 the week before too.
And Simo's given him 4. Because Simo, I'll tell you what, he would have given 5 to Yo.
So the difference between the delivery into the forward line, so obviously Frio's was poor. and also was poor because there's a non-functioning forward line there, Barra. So your midfielders going in were very hesitant because they didn't know who or what or where.
But
and at the other
end,
the Eagles were going deep and dangerous. So but they had the defenders clambering because they were getting it in so quickly, and they were going deep to the really dangerous point. So it's really well done by the Eagles midfield.
Well, there's two things there. Yep. One is Amos went down early.
Yeah, so it impacted them, but I don't think massively.
Oh, no, it threw everything out. Yeah. Talking to Sean Darcy yesterday, it threw everything out. Mm-hmm. Because Jackson, he looked out of sorts. He didn't know what was going on.
I don't think you can blame Amos for that.
No, and I'm just saying that he didn't expect to be the dude. As Amos was going to be the man up there. Yep. And then suddenly, Jackson, you've got to get in pole position. And I don't think he kind of knows how to play that role. He's a ruckman being pushed forward, and he dropped a heap of marks. He had a heap of opportunities. He had a shocker.
Yeah,
I love Jacko. I love Dogger, or whatever they call him. But he had a shocker.
So they'll get better, that Darcy-Jackson combination. I think it's the combination to go forward with.
Even Darcy said that we were cutting across each other, bumping into each other.
Yep.
You know, so that chemistry will come. But
they were beaten at the contest too, clearly. They were not beaten. They were smashed. Their coach, Justin Longmuir, said it.
Smoked, he said.
So, you know, there is a theory, and it's not an excuse for them, but I think the 2 weeks in Adelaide, narrow losses, and they were playing at their peak, I think it might have sucked a bit of energy out them. And I'm not sure about you, Barra, but watching the game, it almost felt like Freo was saying, we're going to come good in a moment.
Mm.
We'll reel this in. That's it. And then all of a sudden it was like, well, hang on.
Too late now.
The
margin was too big.
And
they came good at the end,
yep.
But it was too late. At the other end, though, Waterman, I've been talking to his old man, and he ran 14.2 Ks the game before kick six. He ran another 13 Ks in this game. He was super, mate. He has come on, and Oscar not being there has made him to have to be the main man, and he's delivered two games in a row. For him to kick 11 goals,
it's a great effort
in 2 weeks.
And I'm really pleased for him because he's worked hard. He's been their most
college boy,
productive forward all year.
Who would you have given the votes to? Let's just put it on the record.
Well, I just said.
Who'd you give BOG?
I'm giving it to Yo.
You're going Yo 3.
Yeah, I'm going Yo, two, Reed 2, and Waterman 1. I think they got it pretty much right, the judges. And
Emily's
okay.
Why do you say that? Well, they have three completely different.
Yeah, but what do you want? Everyone to give the same 3-2-1?
Oh, you mean that the combined votes were right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they did. Three of them were completely different.
Yeah, but
so your man Mitch gave Yo, Reed, Waterman.
But do you want three people in a room saying, "Oh, this is the way we're going"? They've got to be different.
No. Emberley said Reed, and his defence of Reed being best on ground was very, very strong on Triple M.
Yeah,
it was a very good defence.
But you know what? But you could make the argument quite easily because he's kicked 3 goals.
Yeah, and then Waterman, and then Yo. So he only gave 1 to Yo, Emberley, right? And then Mundy goes, no, Yo's best on ground, Waterman second, and Reed only gets 1 vote.
So just with that.
So you would, just clarifying, you would have gone Yo,
yep.
Reed, Waterman.
I would have.
Okay.
Yes. But
I think I would have gone the way the coaches went, probably.
Yeah.
And what about Barass?
But just one thing with that, just say Reed gets the Glendinning Allen medal, and then the coaches' votes come out, and he's down there with 5, and Waterman and Yo got 9 each. Would we be having the discussion now, was Yo robbed, was Waterman robbed? You know, you can't win in this situation, Barra. I'm not sure. Have you voted on the Glendinning Allen or the Norm Smith?
No, mate.
It's a bit of pressure on because it's good fun, but, you know, you've...
So you don't actually talk to the other judges?
No way. No. Well, they're sitting around you. You get an idea, but no, you don't really... Not really.
I did influence Sean McManus once when he was going to go one way, and he voted too early and he wanted his votes back.
I think
you can't vote too early, can you?
Sometimes you look for endorsement. If you've got players split or something, and you look around, you say to some of your colleagues who you rate, you know, I can't split these two. Any thoughts? And sometimes you do seek information that way, but it's a bit of pressure on when you're voting on that. It's not like your normal best players. It's like there's a medal riding on it, and you want to get it
right. Imagine if it's the Norm Smith.
Yeah.
I tell you what.
So stuff that up in, it was the year that Buckley got it and Voss didn't, because back in those days, they used to hand it out at 3-quarter time.
Yeah.
And
that's how Peter Bell missed out to Shannon Grant.
Yeah.
Peter Bell should have won one.
But I think they do it at full time now. So that's
what
good.
About Barass though? I mean that in the first quarter he kept them in it, and McGovern.
Which is why he's got 5 coaches votes.
But he should have actually, it depends if you like defenders more than forwards or midfielders. If I'm a backman, Schofield would have given Barass 3 votes. No question. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas Pav, I don't know which way he would have gone, the Pav. But let's talk a little bit about...
Probably Waterman.
And you know what? I think they got their selection wrong too. I mean, I know Amos changed everything, so he can't really be definitive.
But I don't think he changed everything. It was significant. But he didn't change everything, mate. They were beaten in many areas.
Yeah, true. So, yeah. But I'm just saying, in terms of scoring, Sam Sturt, they went with the mid-size forward. Well, I think they should have played Simpson.
So you're about to bring up who you think they should have brought in?
Yeah, because Simpson pace. And because when I was at that press conference, mm-hmm. you were sitting behind me, Mark Duffield on the left. And as soon as Justin Longmuir said, and Simo sitting right there, said Frederick was out, you could just see him go, whoa, that's good.
I think Switkowski and Frederick.
He was already out.
But they're huge outs in that game. Because
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying in that situation, Frederick was the one that was 50-50. And once he'd heard, so the Switkowski's already out and Frederick, they lose all that massive pace up there. They should have probably gone with Simpson.
So I reckon.
And Sturt might cop it this week.
Yeah.
They've got to bring Chapman in.
Yeah.
He'll definitely come in, I reckon, for Hughes. Some of the matchups down the back, Hughes was on Reed at one stage. Hughes was on bloody Waterman. Mm. They should have started with Pierce on Waterman. And they went with Luke Ryan.
Yep.
I reckon they made some blues there. But now the changes. Switkowski and Frederick look like coming back this week. So you knock out.
That's
who do you
good
knock?
For
does,
them.
Does Banfield 0-4? Does he go?
Well, you know what? He's had two pretty poor misses that just when there's a little bit of momentum going their way, and the week before as well. So
he's got getting to
kick
the ball,
goals,
but
you've got to kick him, mate.
And you know what happens is he gets freed up because they don't focus on him. He's like the dud forward.
You've
got
to find.
I mean.
Well, put it this way: you've got to find a way to get Switkowski and Frederick in. So Frederick is just dangerous with his pace. What I like about Switkowski is his ball use and
his pressure.
But when he gets the footy, mm-hmm. I reckon they look most likely to score. When he's around about that 50-metre arc, he's got the footy, you know they're going to score. I reckon those two missing were actually more important than Amos going out early, as it turned out.
Yeah, well, you can't tell, can you?
No.
He might have kicked five. But I'll tell you what, Simo coached well too. Coached really well. The way he got the boys forward of the ball was actually outstanding. So I think we need to start giving Simo some bouquets because this is a stunning transformation, isn't it?
It's not done yet, though. Let's just hold out.
Well, just off the bottom.
Yeah, yeah, off
and
the bottom,
just getting
yes.
out of the bottom four will be a coaching masterclass.
Yep. Yeah,
don't you think?
It would be if they're at the bottom four. Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
But they're not there yet,
chance
mate.
To get let's the Gold just, Coast. They've got Essendon over here.
Let's just cool our Jets. It's two
no,
wins.
No, we're not. That's what we do. We talk it up. Mate, how can you keep saying cool the Jets?
Because there's no premiership being won
yet. Have you picked up the paper today?
I have.
Have you seen the contract on the back page?
No,
let's get
yesterday.
To that.
That was yesterday.
The contract was yesterday. What's on today?
What is on the back today? It is, I have seen it.
But I love what they're doing. And I love that you guys are claiming the glory. Oh, you thought we overcooked it, did you? Well, have a look at this. Oh, that's right. They had Hulk Hogan. Harley Mania and him,
oh yeah, good
him
bloke.
As, him as Hulk Hogan.
Oh, that's yes. But they also had.
Do you want to call out as well, mate?
Harley Mania.
To pass on a message for you.
I'm just saying. Let's.
What
just,
are you saying?
It's
You've got
tough,
that.
It's a tough competition, mate. Well, let's just cool out, Jets.
Cool and nothing, mate. Mr. Cooler.
They got the Gold Coast on Sunday. That's not easy, but at least it's a day game. If it was a night game,
it's cooler. Too good. Hey, let's talk about the contract now. You guys have broached it.
Yes.
Okay, so my understanding is that it's got a 3-year deal, right, up to the end of 24, 25, 26.
And there's a date which we've passed a couple of days ago where you can recontract your first year. Yeah.
And so my view is, just so you know, he's on 130K, gets $4,000 a game. So that say he plays 20, that's another 60. So that takes him to 190. If he wins the Rising Star, he gets another 20K. If he gets in the All-Australian squad, any chance?
Oh, yeah. Well, you have to say he is.
Another 20,000. If he's top three best and fairest, he gets another 30,000. So if he gets all them, it's 260. But then there's the marketing budget West Coast have, which is 1.2 million. You'd be suggesting that he would be getting quite a large slice of the marketing budget,
well,
wouldn't
you? Hope so.
Like Nick Nat used to just about get it all.
Well, you would hope so.
So he's
I reckon gonna, there might be a few number nines going out the door, yes.
So he's getting 260. He could get 260 plus.
They're
plus
selling
the
Harley
marketing.
Wigs yet? Like they used to sell the Nick Nat
headbands.
Wigs?
I think the headbands will be out.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you do, Quarters? What do you do? So if you're his manager, Nick Geeshan, who's part of
Connors.
So he's signed to the end of 24, 25, 26. Do you say, oh, look, let's take a five-year extension, take me up to free agency in Perth, and then I'm a free agent, I can really cash in.
So he's got three now, right, which is a good thing.
And how much would you pay?
And they move from two to three this year too, which is great.
Yeah.
Because you should, I think first-round picks are that important. I think the club deserves some security. So I like that 3 years.
Yeah. That 5 years
makes... It's a smart thing to get him up to the...
So that's 8 years, right?
That's the restricted free agency.
But this is the thing. How much would you pay 5 years?
It'll be back-ended. But
are we talking 10 million quarters?
I think you are talking at least a million a year in the back end of that contract, yes.
Not 2 million a year.
Oh, no.
If you want to get him, if he's probably saying, I reckon if I'm Nick Geisha, I'm saying, mate, we need 10 million.
Mate, I reckon after beyond the 5 years, I'm not sure. It's a lot of money at this stage.
And the only thing that concerns me is
back end of it, mate, yes. The last 2 years, if you add it on. But I'm just...
All right, so two at the end, and then the other three a million each.
Something
two,
like that.
Four,
maybe,
five,
but
six,
I mean,
seven. So 7 million for 5 years.
A lot of money.
But I would be saying to Harley and to Nick Geisha and his manager, I was saying, look, and it happened to us at West Coast when the Eagles had so much talent. Everyone had to have a bit of a pay cut, get under the market price to keep the team together to win more flags.
They'll get a bit of space, though, coming up.
They will get a bit of space. But do you say to him, look, if you take 10 mil for those 5 years, it's going to squeeze out so-and-so. Like Long might get squeezed out or Hewitt may get squeezed out. We may not be able to get extra players to build this phenomenal team that they're obviously trying to build. Do you cop that if you're Harley Reid, or do you say, well, I can go back to Victoria anyway?
Nah, I think you cop it. I mean, he seems like a pretty team-oriented person. You're going to have, you know, by the same time he's at the back end of that, of course, you've got Darling's gone, McGovern will be gone, Yeo will be gone, Kelly will be retired. They'll all be retired, mate. So there'll be a bit of room there. He'll be at the apex then. I mean, if he's not already.
But no, there's no 2 million players, is there?
No, but...
It's only one at the moment.
Who will?
So it's a lot of dough.
Could very well be the first.
And with
first,
Tassie coming, he's in such a brilliant spot.
Mm.
Let's hope things continue
but
that way.
But plays footy in the right way too, Barra. So, you know, good on him. I'm just saying, when he does hit a flat spot, let's just all, you know.
Yeah, and Simo keeps saying that.
Back off a bit because the, you
know. Well, I'll be watching what you're writing at that time.
Fine.
I'll see how you go.
I'll be very fair on him. You know I will be. What, you don't think I will be?
No, I'll just see what happens, mate.
I think history would suggest, Barra, I'm very fair.
You're very fair. I'm just thinking our listeners would be very interested in how it gets handled.
Okay, so let's move on to some other stuff. Charlie Cameron, the Charlie Cameron good bloke clause, now has been invoked, both firstly by Chris Scott, who said, well, it would be remiss of us not to use this now because what are we saying that our players aren't as good a bloke as Charlie Cameron?
Hang on, who are you talking about?
Well, Chris Scott, after the Charlie Cameron result came out, said we'll be using it down the track.
Yeah.
Adam Simpson's rolled it out on Sunday night.
Yeah. I mean, but Toby Green's not a good bloke. He gets Toby Tax.
Yeah,
you weren't going down that path.
No, well, hey, did you read my column on Sunday? There's three things here. There's the Toby Tax. There's the Roo rebate. Right, the Roo rebate is not just the, and that's the compensation picks that are just pulled out of the troposphere for Ben Mackay, and then there's also the Clarko.
Hasn't the shine gone off Clarko?
Oh yeah.
Oh my
tough
god,
tough gig that one. And then there's the Charlie concession.
And you know what, Tom Barras? Are you going to try to tell me that Tom Barras doesn't deserve the Charlie concession?
I'm not saying he's
Glenn
not
Quarterman,
a good bloke.
Are you going to try to tell me that?
I think he deserves a week.
So
crime.
He doesn't deserve the Charlie.
Footy crime.
Why doesn't he not deserve it if Charlie does?
That's the problem. He does.
He does.
No, I'm saying.
Well, what are you saying, Quarters?
So Charlie actually got the week and then they let him off on the good bloke clause. Mm. I'm saying Tom Barras deserves the week for the action, but he should also get off on the good bloke clause.
So you think he should get off?
On the good bloke clause,
yeah,
he should.
Exactly, mate. 138 games, no suspensions.
But I'm still saying he should get the week.
And probably. It'd be good if Sonny got up there.
The tribunal will use its discretionary powers. Well, this is the problem with this, and we flagged this. This is the,
well, it's not a problem.
The Pandas box is open, as
you would
say.
I think it's fantastic. What's wrong with it?
Oh, I don't like it, mate.
It's great if the good guys are getting off.
Oh, come on.
And because Sonny doesn't get a chance to go up there,
they're lining up at the tribunal door. All the good blokes.
Yeah, well, it's only a short list, mate. Oh. It's only about 20 of them that haven't been suspended.
They'll be coming out of the woodwork. Don't worry.
And Sonny,
there'll be videos of him helping little old ladies across the road with their shopping.
In the old days, he'd working for Telethon. I saw him at Telethon. Tom Barras
wonderful.
Did a lot of great work. But Sonny doesn't get a chance. In the old days, the opponent used to be able to have his say and go on there and say, you know what, I probably milked it a bit. You know, it didn't really hurt me. I was just going for the free kick. I mean, Sonny might go in and say that if he had a chance.
Just on Sonny, are you keeping him in the side or are you giving him a spell?
Well, that's right. With those blokes all coming back. So you've got Frederick and Sitkowski.
I'm giving him a spell.
So do you get?
He'll come out and kick six
now. Is it Banfield, Sturt?
I hope he does.
Pick two of these out. Banfield, Sturt or Walters?
Two go?
Well, they have to because two are coming in.
I'm saying I want to keep Sturt in. Do I'm going to say kick Sturt two. And Walters go out. Banfield and Walters go
rest,
out. I'm keeping Sturt in.
Rest Sonny.
I want to give him some more game time. Yeah.
He was flat last year and then he came good again. Mm. Maybe it's just
Sonny.
I think without
started the year in a blaze of glory. Yeah. Against Adelaide, he was wonderful, but he's been really flat the last 3 weeks.
But last year, he had the same flat spot, and he came good. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is Frederick and Switkowski, if they're not there, he's not the same player because you know they do a lot of that grunt work, and the pace of Frederick just opens everything up.
I don't have a zero necessarily in on Sonny, but the fact is he's been poor. And, you know, you've got to earn your spot in the side.
Maybe. So let's do a prediction. Brass gets off or not?
No.
He doesn't get off?
No.
So they just disregard what they did last week?
It's the AFL, mate. They just move on.
How can they do that?
Because they just do. That's how they roll. Nothing to see here, Barra. Let's move on.
And Toby Green?
Oh, he gets a week.
Jeez, I'm so conflicted there. Somebody has to pull out of those contests.
Okay. So I think there's two elements to this. One, he had his eyes on the footy, but it's a different world now, Barrett. If you lose the ground, leave the ground and you make contact.
But that's how you mark, mate.
Yeah, but
you leave the ground to mark the ball.
But you've got to make a choice. You've got a duty of care to your opponent and his head.
So he's just let him come back.
Well, I think that both players need to, and it's also a point.
So both leave it, so it just drops on the ground. That'll be funny. That'll happen, Josh. That'll happen one day.
It will.
Both players will pull out, and they'll drop on the ground, and we'll become a
farce. We're starting to see players do that.
And a capital F.
Thankfully, the media is not hauling them over the coals. I think Waddell a couple of weeks ago was a little bit different because I don't know what it was, but I think we're starting to see players take a couple of short steps because they're thinking, and I hate using that phrase, short steps, but they're thinking, A, I want to play next week, and B, I've got a duty of care here. I like that, and that's where we're going. And as the media, we've got to be accepting of that and not haul them over the coals.
Yeah, I think it's changed.
But it's changed. That's why I think Green will get the week. But you never know with the tribunal. I mean, it's Toby tax in reverse. It's just...
But can I put it to you, Quarters, that the bloke who's coming back with the ball should be the one that pulls out. If you want someone to pull out, which is what you do, you want either Toby.
It's a good argument.
Because if the guy's leading up, if he's leading for the ball and that's there and the guy keeps coming back and you're trying to protect the head, tell the bloke who's coming back not to do that crazy suicidal motion.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I agree, but I think if you
Or do you think maybe the defender deserves to come back and you just let usher him through, shepherd him almost. Mate, take the mark. There you go, mate.
I think you leave the ground, you make contact to the head, you're in trouble.
Play on
if
you want.
That's why I think you'll get a week.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not talking about that. Yeah. I'm saying who should be the one that pulls out.
Well, both of them have a duty of care. The player running back...
Well, they're going to have a discussion beforehand. How would they... Like, who is it? Make a decision.
I think what happens is it's not a discussion you have at the moment. You don't sit down and have a cup of tea
on the
ground.
Maybe the rule is that you don't come
pull
back...
out a picnic
You don't
rug.
Come back with the ball.
We're getting to that point.
Mm.
And
that's
for
sad.
People who
so
well,
sad a bit.
Well, no, it's not sad, Barra, because we're trying to protect the head in football. It's look, if we want to live in the 70s and 80s when we love that, and I'm not saying I used to love that stuff, players showing courage.
Revolts, Mark.
All
Brown's
of that
mark,
stuff, mate.
All that goes.
We've got to protect
gone.
The players from themselves now. This is where we're headed. We know more about concussion.
I heard a senior coach saying that those days of those heroic marks are gone.
There you
go.
You
just don't do it.
There you go.
And you know what? The other thing, I wanted to mention this I did a big thing, a concussion thing, because there's a great play coming up called Barracking for the Umpire.
Yep.
Barracking for the Umpire. It starts tomorrow at the...
That's Andrew Dillon. He was here.
He had a good line. Yeah. Barracking for the Umpire, it's at the Subiaco Arts area there, right up to my house, actually. And I was hosting it, and it's about... This
oh, you war- are hosting this?
No, no. Oh. I was just hosting an event for the Black
say,
Swan.
That's a good plug.
Black Swan... Oh, theatre company.
Are you a thespian now?
Well, yes. I'm glad you said that right. So what?
Are you working for Black Swan?
No, I was just helping them out because it was a footy thing. It was me and
Hamlet.
Remember
Hamlet
Gary O'Donnell?
King Lear?
Remember Gary O'Donnell? Oh, for the Bombers?
Alas, poor Yorick, I knew him well. Can I see you there with a skull?
To be or not to be?
Yeah, that is the question.
That is the question, my friend.
Will you be doing that? No, is that you?
No. I've got nothing to do with being a thespian.
Strutting around in your Shakespearean knickerbockers, will you be doing that?
I was just there because I've had experience in footy, and so is Gary O'Donnell.
Okay.
And we had Michelle Cowan.
Gary O'Donnell, former Essendon player.
Yeah, he was there. And then there was a doctor.
Former North Ringwood junior.
So I'm getting there to this story there. So there's this doctor there, and her name escapes me at the moment, but she was a very smart lady. And she was talking about concussion. And in Western Australia, there's 100—is it Western Australia or it's a national figure? Anyway, the figure was it's 130,000 concussions each year, right? 130,000. How much come from sport? What percentage do you reckon?
So it must be in Australia. I'm going to say 50%.
16%.
Yeah, okay. Only that low.
Yeah, so, and we carry on.
Workplace is what?
And we carry on about concussion relentlessly, don't we?
As
it's only
should.
16%
That's
of the thing, right?
16% too high.
The only reason it gets mentioned is because of legal ramifications, blah, blah, blah.
That's not the only reason.
No, what I'm saying it is because the big groups, car crashes and domestic violence.
Yep.
Did you hear that last one?
I did, yeah.
And you don't get no 14 days off there, mate, or 21 days off if you're in the waffle.
Unfortunately.
Do you know what I mean? No. Like, someone needs to look into that side of it.
Yep.
That is a massive, massive area. And I think it should be raised every time we crap on about concussion. Not crap on, but you know what I mean?
Yep.
Let's put some perspective into it and go, hang on, there's women 100 times a year. You know, you're worried about getting concussion 2 or 3 times a year. This is a huge issue that needs to be looked into.
So
anyway, go to Barracking for the Umpire. It's a great show. So the lady who wrote it, she's from Donnybrook, and her dad suffered from dementia, she thinks, because of the way he played footy. And so he couldn't play footy anymore, so he became an umpire. And so she started barracking for the umpire, the only person ever.
So she was at the ground literally barracking. Yeah,
In country footy. And she just, it's a dark humour story.
Well done. Good ball up. Good decision.
Yes. Good running backwards. Yes. Very good. but it was all that sort of stuff. It's really good play. Really barracking
for the
umpire.
Can I tell you a story about running backwards? My mate was an umpire and he went on over to South Africa and he was on some walk and a baboon leapt out in front of him and went, like, it was really menacing. And he started instinctively running backwards because that's what he did as an umpire and fell over a log. Next thing, he's laying on the ground with his baboon snarling. It was a good, don't worry, nothing happened. The baboon ran, I think he might have thrown something at it and it ran off. But
Didn't you see the front bar?
I watch it most weeks.
It was a bear in the front bar. You're not supposed to run. You're supposed to stand still, keep your head down and just sort of keep moving forward a little bit.
See, his umpiring instincts kicked in there.
He did the totally wrong thing.
Speaking of bizarre.
Running backwards.
Fell over a log. Speaking of bizarre, 2 points. One, how stiff is Adelaide? They're going to start feeling persecuted here. What about the Sam Draper?
Yeah.
What did you think about Sam Draper?
Give us your view.
Well, the football, did you see it sprout a little beak and some wings and start flapping? Did you see that? Mate, he was on it that long. He hatched it. he laid on the foot. That is a free kick. Kick to Taylor Walker, top of the square, goal. They win the game.
What about how he just...
How stiff is Adelaide?
What about him reenacting it later on, guys? You see how we got away with
and
it?
And I reckon Brad Scott has pulled him aside after the game and said, hey, Sam, not a good idea. He may not play this week.
Because
they've got Goldstein coming in. They've got a couple of big ins this week, Essendon. Goldstein being one of them for Anzac Day. And their structure's a little bit different.
Yeah, right.
They
love Goldstein. They reckon he's killing it. Yeah, that was bloody funny. But then again,
that was a free kick.
Aren't you the one that always says, "Oh, it's only the last decision at the end of the game"? What about all the other decisions that people made that didn't cause things?
Yeah, but you've got the ability to come back from those. You don't have the ability to come back from that.
That's why they're highlighted.
So the other thing is the umpire, and I'm not umpire bashing, but I am umpire criticising. We're allowed to. The umpire in that instance he would have given that free kick, he or she would have given that free kick anywhere else on the ground at any other given time of the game. That's a free kick, but not in, with the in the dying seconds at the top of the goal square. It is wrong, Barra. It is a free kick.
You are right. The AFL has conceded the decision to controversially not penalise an Essendon star in the dying seconds was technically incorrect. Mm-hmm. But the league has defended the umpire's approach to a very challenging situation, Glenn, adding only broadcast vision helped the league make the post-match call. Very hard to make it live. There you go, mate.
Harry Jones is going all right up there in Goldstein. So I'm just saying, watch this space. Draper may find himself out of that side. And I don't mind Essendon at the moment, actually. Sam Darren's made a huge difference to them in the midfield. Pick number 21 in the mid-season draft, Barra, so you can do it.
Who's the other bloke they're going to drop too? Darcy Parrish, that's right. They're thinking about dropping him as well. Mm. Does that mean they're going well, the Bomb?
Where
are they on the ladder
now? Well, they're seventh.
Whoa. Oh, so the Dockers have dropped out to ninth.
Hey, now we've got to talk about it. Come on.
Bombers?
My boys.
Oh, yeah.
The Hawks.
So you're off the bottom.
Oh, thankfully. And, jeez, that was a painful watch early.
And it was ordinary early, but... All right, you're the Hawks, man. What'd you make of it? It's North Melbourne, so bad. What's happened to... And see him getting stuck in the Sheasel now, saying, he just gets a lot of easy kicks. And
oh, well, that's a bit unfair on him. He's just a kid, mate. He can't do much more. He's okay. I mean, he was named as their best player. I thought the Ruckman did pretty well, Cherry. Hawthorn, that's about where I thought they were, to be honest. And I guess they have had a pretty bad start to the year, but they were very poor against Gold Coast. There's always going to be a bounce back. Where is Hawthorn at? Bottom four side.
Mm.
You know, I think they'll be pleased with Newcomb's performance because he's been a bit below his best.
Nash
is another one.
Kick four.
Yeah.
What happened to Larky? Kick three.
With Hawthorn is they're lacking that real star quality forward and they're lacking that real star quality defender. The good news is I think Mitch Lewis isn't far off. Now, he's not a star forward, but he certainly straightens them up. And Will Day, I think, is just about due to come back too. So that'll be really important for them. North Melbourne, well, Clarko himself, you can see they've just got to keep doing what they're doing. And that's just promote the youth and play them. They've certainly got some talent. They are a bit thin down back too, aren't they, really?
What does it say about priority picks and all that sort of stuff? That they can't get it going.
Well, what it says is, did they err in not going for key position players?
Well, not tanking for Harley.
Oh, you don't tank, mate.
Not tank, but that was silly how they won that game.
Why?
It wasn't why, because they didn't get Harley.
Yeah, well.
Imagine if they had Harley now.
They might have split the pick.
Mate, you know the funny bit? I can remember.
I would have.
Who was it who was getting on his high horse saying that the Eagles deserved priority picks?
It was me saying if North got one, they should get one. Not now.
That's right. Two weeks later.
That's right at the time.
How quickly things change. Yeah. Their podcasts are amazing. Yeah. You can say any old shit.
And people forget.
2 weeks later you go.
Well, they never forget.
No, that's
very discerning, our listeners. They never forget, Barry.
But isn't that a big flip? Now they don't deserve one.
Well, I didn't say that.
I said,
if North deserve one on their form, then they should put their hand up. That's what I said.
Yeah, I know.
And play now, it back, and that's what I said.
But now you're not saying that.
Oh, not at the moment. No.
Well, are you going to change again?
I think Hawthorn should get one. Well, Hawthorn's 1-5 and at the bottom of the ladder. Hawthorn deserve one.
Hey, Nadia Comaneci. You're going to flip again.
I think Hawthorn deserve one, to be honest. I think Hawthorn's turn. I don't know. There was some language from Andrew Dillon the weekend, just a couple of things over the weekend that were worthy of note. One was Dillon saying he thought that it was just a hint that maybe the days of priority picks are gone. And if that's the case, hallelujah, or hallelujah, or whatever you want to say. The other interesting thing is talking to Simon Garlick over the weekend about the, and he mentioned this at the Derby lunch on Friday, was about the home games and the fact that the Victorian teams, about kilometres travelled. I think the stat he pulled out was Frio flew 62,000 Ks last year. And there were three Victorian clubs that flew less than 15,000. West Coast due to fly 58,000 Ks this year, and I think Carlton at the other end were only due to fly 13,000. His point was, we don't want to sound like whinging West Aussies, he said, but the fact is there's an inequity there. He said, what we're saying is because the Victorian teams have so many games in Melbourne, there is an imbalance. And he said, we don't think it's unreasonable for them to say, we'll take one of those games and play it over in Western Australia. So that's what they're getting at. And he seems to think he's got a willing audience both at the AFL and among the other clubs. So,
well, I think he has. The mood has changed because Craig McRae said it today that he thinks us playing 17 games at the MCG is a bit unfair.
We need another home game here, for sure.
I thought it was revealing that Andrew Dillon admitted that it's harder to win a premiership from WA.
Yep.
It's harder.
He did well.
It is harder to win. The AFL has actually said that. It is harder to win the flag from here.
It is. Yeah.
So how can you have an equitable comp? What do you reckon he was trying to say when he said, and Ryan Daniels did a great interview. What extra games, he indicated we might get extra games in WA, but he wasn't talking about an extra home game. He's talking about special games.
Special round. So this is where
What do you think he's talking about?
Well, so he raised 3 points. One was change, gather round. Interesting word there, change. He didn't say move. Mm. He said change. And the second one was expand. So whether that becomes a two-week operation and moves from Adelaide to Western Australia. And the third thing he said was special rounds. And that's where this may come into it, getting the extra game and you make it a special round. I'd still like to see WA go for gather round, to be quite frank. I don't see why it should stay in South Australia.
We don't just want one game. We don't want the indigenous round as well as gather round. Yeah, right. But if he's saying one game, that's not great. We want lots.
I throw a little left fielder in there as well? So if you're going to get an extra game, both teams, why couldn't it be a third derby? Then you're alleviating the travel. I don't mind that.
And he completely ruled out a third team in WA.
Now, I asked... People down in Bunbury
and Busselton,
under his watch, that's not happening.
Very upset.
Interesting, he said
the Seagulls will not fly.
Comfortable with 19 teams, he said.
Mm.
So that's really interesting. I asked Simon Garlick about that third derby. He said, look, we haven't given that much thought. He said, what we do believe is that we don't want pre-season derbies because it sort of dilutes entering the first derby. And the other thing he said was, we're pretty sure we're not going to be doing any more travel in the pre-season, which I think is more than reasonable. If you're travelling that much, and those figures I threw out, they're not just plucked from the fly high mile. That's actually what they do. Mm. That's a lot of Ks in the air.
Yeah, well when Pav retired, he'd flown to the moon and back.
Yeah.
To the moon
literally.
And back. Literally. Like 800,000 kilometres. So that's
Did he get
most.
A good look?
I don't know if he got there, but and what the only thing I thought was pretty funny was how the panel show that had Ben Cousins, Embley, Nick Nat, and Shawnee Mack, Hazelby.
That's good.
And who was the other doctor? Mundy. All right,
good
so
fun.
That was good fun. Interesting.
Did you mention Cuz?
And you see Cuzzy tipping the Eagles and Yo to win the medal.
Yeah.
So he
can't do anything wrong at the moment, Ben.
He looks like the genius. But how much do they get into that game in London that was spoken about?
It was brilliant.
And that crap. And Ember's getting on the... I told you he got on the Dockers bus.
Yeah, and wasn't it funny, Anthony Graver. I didn't know that. So Anthony Graver goes up to him on the bus and says, Ember's...
It's 40 to 1.
Do you really think this is a good idea? Actually, yeah, it's not.
You know,
and
Ember's was looking for Crowley, basically.
Yeah.
He wanted to challenge Crowley to a fight. A duel.
On the bus.
Come outside and have a duel. I'm going to slap you in the face with a glove.
Yeah.
And there's 40 Dockers blokes. Yeah. I thought that was very FM radio, but it kind of was okay.
I got challenged to a duel not that long ago after a kids' soccer game at Balladura Sports Centre. The bloke wanted to take me outside to the car park. Seriously.
Are you kidding?
No. He had a crack at my wife. I had a crack at him. And he came up.
So Lisa was yelling a bit and he asked her to be quiet, or what happened?
Pretty much, yeah. She wasn't really yelling.
But he didn't ask her in the right way.
He was standing there with his can of Jim Beam, which I didn't like.
He was drinking Jim Beam. What time was that?
Oh, it was about 7 o'clock at night. I didn't like it because it was a kids' sporting event. And technically the bar was open, but I thought, mate, just hold
it. So you let him in on the fact that you didn't think he should have been drinking as well as what he'd said to your wife?
How
did you handle that? What did you say? And what sort of frame?
I might have said, have another Jim Beam.
You didn't say stick the Jim Beam up your ass.
I might have said, why don't you have another Jim Beam and another dart, mate? Because he's outside popping out for a dart.
And then he said, come out of the car park.
A bit of a push and shove. And he said, let's go outside to the car park.
There was a bit of contact.
Yeah.
There was contact.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. What did he poke you in the chest?
I think the kids were all scared.
You've got to look him in the eyes.
No, it was more of just a bit of the... Who were those tennis twins, the Bryan brothers? It was a bit of a chest, more of a chest than a poke. But you know my comeback?
Yeah.
Mate, I am not fighting you or anyone in a car park at night at Ballardura at a junior sports night. Do you reckon that was a wise decision? I think it was.
What sort of unit was he?
Oh, I know, a bit bigger than me.
It was a big unit, was he? Yeah, and you've stared him down.
Oh, I could have. Terrible. I'm fearsome, though. I'm fearsome.
I'll show you this left hook.
I have fists of fury, Barra. Look at my tiny hands. Don't underrate them.
You might have to put them together. Well, mate, that's an eye-opener. That's almost, you almost made the news, mate. We could have got a call. There's a brawl in the car park in Ballardura.
My brother once took on Jean-Claude Van Damme. You know that.
Really?
Yeah, Stephen. You know that story?
No.
Where was it? It was some fashion function. And Stephen's first wife was there. She's a model. And let's just say Jean-Claude was getting a little bit untoward and
took
maybe a bit touchy-feely. And Stephen didn't like it. He was comparing the event and he had a bit of a crack. The next thing you know, there was maybe a bit of push from Jean-Claude. And the security guards all swarmed in over the top and Jean-Claude said, "You don't know who I am." And Stephen said, "Well, my name's Stephen and this is my town." Now go forth and do whatever. That's a well-known story.
He sounds like, who was the red-headed martial arts expert? The other one.
Chuck Connor.
He sounds like Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris. That's right.
Your brother sounds like Chuck Norris. This is my town.
Yeah, well,
Kung Fu. I used to love that show, Kung Fu. Did you ever watch
that? Fantastic. Grasshopper.
Young people wouldn't have a frigging clue what we're talking about. But how good was Kung Fu?
Oh,
I love that guy. David Carradine, remember?
Grasshopper. Walking around with you take this hot rock from my hand, then you will be a man.
When he got out of the temple. But he walking around in his bare feet. And it's always the same plot, Josh. You're probably going, what are these idiots doing?
We need Josh to superimpose some of that mystical Kung Fu music over the top of this.
Yeah, but it was always the same plot every week.
What was the music that show, remember? Yeah. It was a classic. Anyway, half of our audience will have no idea what we're talking about.
Just the plot of the whole thing, it was always the same every week, that some bullies underestimated this fellow, and in the end he got pushed so far and he let himself get beaten up a bit, but in the end he dug deep and he belted them all. That's what happened.
Mate, we better just mention a couple of games before we get on to some mail.
What, two footy?
Sydney's still getting the job done. Isaac Heaney, wonderful, wonderful form. Brownlow favourite in my eyes.
That Amardi's goes all right now.
He does. Geelong, just getting the job done. Touched Brisbane up at the Gabba there.
Mate, Geelong, are they the premiership favourite? Who's the premiership favourites now? Because GWS gotten bowled over.
And as I suspected, so I've picked Carlton, but only picked Carlton on the back of Sam Taylor missing. I thought structurally that was a big change. And Carlton, by the way, the new turnover team in the second half, so they're going okay. Geelong, well, mate, they're on top of the ladder, so you've got to give them credit for that.
So just tell
me. Got the job done in the wet.
You know how, I know you picked Melbourne and then you flipped on to GWS.
No, I'm still strong on Melbourne. haven't jumped off.
Shut up, will you?
Why?
You had GWS last week. You had a bloody Sydney grand final 2 weeks ago.
No, I'm sticking with Melbourne.
What about now?
No, Geelong... I'm still with Melbourne. Melbourne wins the flag.
All right, just say Melbourne don't win it. Geelong, Sydney, GWS,
Melbourne
Carlton.
Don't win it, GWS wins it.
You reckon? Still reckon GWS, even though they got beaten by Carlton.
Yep.
I thought that was telling. Carlton winning in, was it in Canberra? No, it was at Marvel, wasn't it?
Yep.
No, it was a Carlton and Marvel.
It was at Marvel Stadium. And I'll tell you what, Geelong.
Cripps was amazing.
Tyson Stengel, mate. There was
oh, how good's he?
35 running around in wet weather, and he was playing with the dry weather footy.
Guthrie was super.
He's a very good player. Collingwood, Port Adelaide, just creeping back into some sort of sneaky sort of flag
sneaky,
sort of
pants
territory.
Them. Collingwood. They belted them, didn't they?
And the Western Bulldogs. Where did that come from? On the Thursday night. So
doesn't bode well for Rio.
60-point win over St Kilda, and Ross Lyon did talk about back-to-back five-day breaks and what have you. In fact, probably flagged. I don't know if you saw the interview before the game, but said, "I'm a bit worried about tonight," and he had good reason to be so. I was unhappy.
That does make you worry if the coach's mentality is that we're under the pump. But you need to be super confident going in.
So Lucas Herbert is a LIV golfer, right? A Victorian from Ballarat boy, and he plays for the LIV Tour. He's a really good putter. Luke Beveridge got him in during the week to just talk to him about metrics and putting and blah, blah, blah. The two players he spoke to, Aaron Norton and Cody Waitman. Aaron Norton, 6 goals straight. Cody Waitman, three goals straight.
Wow.
Get Lucas Herbert on your books. Get him to talk
good
to your
story.
Forwards.
And Norton got that much ball because Ugle Hagen was out. And guess what now? Because What's-His-Face from the Dockers played well.
Who's What's-His-Face?
The big bloke. Rory Lobb,
yeah.
Because Rory Lobb played well, they're saying maybe they don't bring back Ugle Hagen.
Oh, come on, you bring back Ugle
Hagen. I know, that's what I said.
You bring him
and
back.
Libera comes back. So I'll tell you what, that's a massive game for Fremantle. Massive, Matt. You've got to get along, Freo fan. Saturday, 5:30 at Optus.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to
get
this game.
Get behind them because they've just got to win. They're 3-3. They can't afford to go 3-4, particularly the Bulldogs being eighth. It drives a wedge between eighth and ninth, their ninth Fremantle.
Yep, yep.
That's a big game. With
and their fans will be there.
Ugle Hagen, Libertore comes back. It's the Len Hall game. Super special.
They do
we
it
love
well.
That, don't we? How good's that?
They
how,
do it really
they
well.
They just got to win. Just find a way to win.
Yeah, so anyone who, you know, obviously you're going for the footy, but the Len Hall tribute has become a very special occasion. Fremantle does it as well as anyone. They do it as well as Essendon and Collingwood
they
on Anzac
do.
Day. So get along.
Get there early.
Support our old diggers. They deserve it. So
the only thing, and you know,
and be kind to any old diggers you see, or any diggers, any ex-service men and women you see on Anzac Day this week. Look after them.
And what Freo's got to worry about, because the eight is Geelong, Sydney, GWS, Carlton, Port, Melbourne, Essendon, Bulldogs. Mm-hmm. Apart from the last two, it's those six look set. So then there's two after that. And behind Fremantle is Collingwood and Brisbane.
Mm.
So to get into the eight, they really got to start.
It's an interesting looking ninth downwards, isn't it? It's really interesting. There's a couple of...
And Collingwood, they kicked 17-21.
Yeah.
17-21 against Port Adelaide.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It's time for this, Barra.
Saddle up your camel. It's time for the Thirsty Camel mailbag.
Yes, thank you to our long-time sponsors, Thirsty Camel. This week's special, Emu Export Emu Bitter Cans, only $59.99 a block. We've got a $50 gift voucher to give away. Thank you to Thirsty Camel. Yet again, get your questions in to Quarters and Barra at wanews.com.au. Keep them short, which you have. Thank you for that. Before I go on, Barra, I'll just mention the game tipping, the Quarters and Barra tipping competition. Well done to John Connell. Six correct with a 36
wow.
margin. Great effort to get six this week. Overall leader is Chris Shepherd with 39 total correct. Quarters, four correct, 34 total. Barra, three correct, 34 total. I've wound you in.
We've drawn level.
Wound Jeepers. You in. Hi, Quarters and Barra. Love the pod. What are your thoughts on raising the soft cap for struggling sides rather than giving them a priority pick? Raise the soft cap for about a 3-4 year period. I just think that would help strengthen the club structurally and actually lead to fundamental change. Regards, Jason from the beautiful capital Canberra. It is a nice
Jason spot, from my old town.
Yes. Mate, I like that idea.
Good on you, Jason.
Clubhouse leader.
I lived in Curtin.
After one.
Went to Maris Brothers there and... Woden Valley was my favourite spot. Raising the cap would be magnificent for the West Coast Eagles because they've got so much money. They could blow so much more money. Yeah. Not great for the Waffle because, you know, they'd spend more money.
But they're not a struggling club now. They're in premiership contention.
Yeah, but the other clubs like North Melbourne.
I'm joking, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. You couldn't raise the soft cap for North Melbourne because they can't afford it. They've got no money. They just put their hand out again for the AFL.
Yep.
That's the problem.
That is,
but it
right.
is a good suggestion, Jace.
Good spot, Canberra. One of my best mates.
A bit cold.
Cunners, Brett Cunningham. He's a federal cop there, has been for a long time. Yeah. It's
good
a good spot.
Yeah.
G'day, boys. The more footy I watch this year, the more I would advocate for marks and goals to be paid despite fingertips touching the ball. If the ball travels the required 15 metres for a mark or through for a goal, the smother wasn't good enough to pay it as such. Make the defenders actually knock the ball back into play. Make the umpire's job easier and do away with these constant stoppages for reviews that are killing games and causing controversy. Do the same for balls grazing the post, another event which always creates an anticlimax, unlike soccer, where it is a great source of excitement and sometimes chaos. Are we cheapening goals? Are fingertips and centimetres really vital to our game? I think not. Goals are hard to come by and the records of Lockett, Dunstall, etc. will most likely never be beaten. Craig from City Beach. Interesting, mate. I mean, you talk about centimetres. You talk about... let's talk about the EPL and VAR. You know, the offside rule. Does it really matter? Should it really matter if it's half a millimetre? I mean, I say no to this, by the way. If the ball's touched, it's touched, in my opinion. But I got to say... It's becoming increasingly frustrating to watch these reviews.
There's a lot of goal reviews.
And
you know what?
Sunday's game was ridiculous. The Hawthorn North Melbourne game.
Shocking. And do we just get rid of goal umpires? Just go to a review?
No.
Just go to review.
Don't get rid of goal umpires. No.
I mean, we like the signalling.
I'd bring back the butcher's coats, by the way.
Yeah, and the Americans love that. Oh, that guy in the white at the end that goes like that. Oh, yeah. I love that. The Americans love that. They love all the stupid
I'd bring
shit.
Back the old school butcher's hats and, yeah, I love that.
The goal review. Like Banfield, though. What about Banfield? Runs into that open goal, dribbles it through, looks like a goal, goes and celebrates, and they go, oh, better have a check. It. Oh, it's hit the post. Mm. Like, I mean, what do you do in that situation? You can't not review
Has
that.
It ruined the Jubo?
The big pardon?
Has it ruined the jubilation, the gold jubo?
Oh, the jubo. What's the jubo?
The jubilation.
Oh, the jubo. I haven't heard that before.
Yeah.
It has a little bit.
Get oh, it didn't. The Banfield. It ruined, all the kids are doing the jubo.
It ruined Banfield's jubo.
Well, it ruins everyone's jubo. They're almost not doing it in the EPL now because you do it in the EPL and you're.
Is that the first time you've used jubo? Must have
been. No.
Bullshit. You've gone around saying jubo.
All the time.
That must be a Victorian.
Every sentence.
What do you call that that salami that you put on your meat?
Pastrami.
No. The one that's recycled and pushed all together and it's sort
God,
of.
I don't know. I've never eaten it. Yeah. Sounds awful.
Yeah. You know what it's good. Like, not.
I don't know.
What's it called? That? You know what it's called?
Meatloaf.
The sandwich meat that you cut in and it's in a big roll and you slice it up.
Mortadella.
No, not mortadella. Not the good stuff. I'm talking about the reconstituted stuff.
I don't know, mate, what you ate growing up.
And in one state it's called something, and we call it not polony. What do we call it?
Yeah, polony's the one I think you're talking about.
And what's the other one called? It's called something. I'll get it for you in a minute.
You know what I used to eat? You know what my go-to was at lunch at school? I'd order a pie and a packet of Twisties and some sauce, and I'd poke the Twisties in the pie and put the sauce on top. Try it, kids.
That sounds good.
Very good for you.
Not.
Hey, fellas, I have identified a severe health and safety risk that the AFL needs to be ready to mitigate, respond to. One of these days, a field umpire is going to choke on the whistle they seem to swallow in the last 15 minutes of matches. Sam Draper's impression of a glider was laughable on Friday night. But on a more serious note, if the head is sacrosanct, how on earth did Bailey Banfield not get protected with a free kick towards the end of the Freo Port match? Likewise, Toby Green nearly had his head taken off by Nick Dacos in the preliminary final last year, but play on as the call. Are some heads more equal than others? Could this be that the AFL are trying to tell umpires to officiate in the context and flow of the game, causing them to stop making decisions they would have made earlier in the game? Mm. If this is the case, I could understand why umpires seem to be inconsistent at the pointy end, and it is having a detrimental effect on the game, in my view. Thank you, John from Hammond Park. John? Very good email. There is no doubt the game is umpired differently in the dying seconds than it is in the midway point of the game. Don't you agree?
Oh, there's no doubt. Well, we just saw it on the weekend with Draper.
Yeah, we did.
Here we go. Polony. Would you call it polony?
Yeah,
polony.
Well, they don't eat it.
Yeah, it's polony in WA. In New Zealand, it's called luncheon or Belgium.
Yeah.
Western Australia, polony. In Tasmania, Victoria, Queensland, New South Wales, and the ACT, it's called Belgium or Devon.
Heard of Belgium or Devon, and
never
I grew up in Victoria.
You never heard of bullshit. You never heard of Devon.
It's meat.
Devon.
Never eaten it.
And in, you know what it's called in South Australia?
I think you're making it up.
You know how we get stuck in this. You know what it's called in South Australia?
Oh, but there we go.
Fritz.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah, you know why?
It had to be German.
Because of the German background.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Einstein.
Jeez.
I want to work that out. Fritz.
Of course it is. Well, I'll tell you what I'm not doing.
Don't have those sandwiches.
Just
anyway.
As I'm not having a pie flater, I'm not going to Adelaide and asking for a Fritz sandwich. I can tell you. High Quarters and Barra, do you think Harley Reid will happily sign a further extension with the Eagles? Will he honour it? That's Patrice.
We discussed that.
That's actually Michelle.
Will he sign it?
I'll just tell the truth, Patrice. Michelle, yeah, I think he will eventually. Yeah, I think he...
Mate, he loves it here.
Yeah.
I saw him I didn't see him, actually. It's got to be a little bit. But on Sunday night...
Where did you see him?
Down at the Cottesloe
just let it slip.
Beach Hotel. It wasn't
me.
I didn't see nothing.
That's all right. He's allowed to have a beer on a Sunday night, provided
he's done his... Yeah, that's
right.
What about me? Am I allowed to be there?
Well, maybe not.
Bit old.
Who were you? Were you hanging down?
No, I wasn't there, mate. I wasn't there,
I said.
You're a groupie. Anyway, this is actually pretty funny.
You are. You're a groupie.
Because you know what they have there? I don't know if it's because of the residents or what, but they have... This is no bull. This sounds stupid, but they have...
Is this the Cottesloe Beach Hotel or
Cottesloe Beach Hotel.
They're both good pubs.
Yeah, and it's coming to the end of the Sunday sessions, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Do they stop having them in winter?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, it's a bit cold in the beer garden and all that. Yeah. But they have... This is what they have there. Josh, you'd love this. They have a silent disco.
Oh, yeah, please.
They do.
Oh, please.
And you know what? Waterman
what
was
is
in,
happening to this world?
Allegedly, Waterman was in there, but allegedly, it's a good way for allegedly Harley to allegedly not have to sort of get hounded. Can you imagine? Because you put your headphones on like this, and someone's trying to talk to you, and you go, mate. So sorry, just doing a dance in the silent disco. Have you been to a silent disco?
No, know it works? I haven't. And I'm not interested in going to a silent disco.
A silent disco, you wear headphones, right?
Yeah.
And everyone listens to the same song.
I wear headphones when I go for a run. That's my silent disco.
So you basically dance to the, say you're dancing to, what's a good dance song, Josh, at the moment? What's it must be, I don't know, Rhiannon. Is that a person? I was battling the stretcher.
That's a song I play on my guitar, Barra. That's not something you dance to, Rhiannon. Jesus, mate. Don't invite me to any of your nightclubs you go to.
It's a dance song.
You can imagine that.
Oh, shit. Come on with a dance. You got something.
Really?
Righto. What do they do? I don't know what they dance to anyway. Whatever they dance
sandstorm
to.
Sandstorm and that sort
sandstorm.
Of
sandstorm. So the sandstorm's on. You've got your headphones on. No one else can hear sandstorm except for the people with the headphones on. And you're dancing, right?
Dr. Dre, mate. All that stuff. They dance to Dr. Dre.
I tell you what, he gets mobbed, though. The selfies is just unbelievable. Can you imagine?
Last one. G'day, Quarters and Barra. While most of the derby talk will be around Frio's slow gameplay and lack of scoring power up forward, my main takeaway was that West Coast have explosive goal-kicking mids in Frio Dome. Reed, Yeo, and to a lesser extent, Kelly kick 4-1 between them for the derby. Well, Reed kicked 3. That's 3 players in 4 quarters of football. Compared to Frio's 7 midfielders, Sarong, Brayshaw, Fife, Young, Amira, Young, Johnson and Erasmus, who kicked just 1 goal in the derby, and a measly 4-11 in 6 games of football for the year. That's 4 goals from 7 players in 24 quarters of football, which is nowhere near enough. While Reeds don't grow on trees, and kudos to him from a one-eyed Frio fan, Erasmus and Johnson were both goal-kicking mids as juniors. The unnecessary recruitment of O'Meara has stunted their growth for mine and forced Brody to waste away at Peel. Cooper Simpson should debut next week, even if only as the sub, as he would add some much-needed speed, excitement and skill in the midfield. I'd also contemplate packing up all three first round picks to get as high up in the draft order this year, which is meant to be a strong midfield draft, to find the most explosive goal-kicking mid we can. Cheers, and that's from Brett, the loader operator in Virginia in the US. A Frio midfielders 2024 scorecard he gives us. Brayshaw 2-1, Fife and Johnson 1-2, Sarong and O'Meara zip 3, Young and Erasmus 0. Good email.
Very good email. I've done some study. I do worry about, I love Jager. I love him. Fantastic guy. I think he's from Dongra.
Jager O'Meara?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just world's best fella.
Good fella.
But just squeezed out now. Not sure what role he plays. Brody played well. I saw him playing for Peel. How weird was that? Did you see the Peel game? The Peel versus Eagles waffle? No one there. No one. Because basically, they can't allow any of the members in, appeal members, or it's just the people who own the tickets to the Eagles game. All right?
So, yeah.
So they don't turn up early. So there was absolutely no one watching.
So we should talk about the waffle reserves, but we'll wait for tomorrow to do that because we're back on Wednesday. So we're back tomorrow, given that it's the Anzac Day round. So we will preview the rounds at tomorrow's tomorrow's podcast.
The only thing I was going to say there was maybe they should play the waffle game earlier, much earlier, and just open up the bottom level and let the Peel people in and any Eagles waffle people and then say you have to leave. That'd be all right, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Anything to get more people there, yeah, I'm exactly up for, mate. You have been listening to Quarters and Barra. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. Got the touch. Download the Tab Touch app today. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Thank you for listening. Good luck to whoever you are. We will be talking to you again in 24 hours where we preview Anzac Day round. Thank you.